Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And welcome back, everybody. We are at the Traffic and Conversion Conference 2018. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes, Ted Holmes International. And I am following her around, literally being amazed at how many people she knows. Of course, as she should, her father wrote the book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. And this is what this conference is all about. And Amanda, I'm just going to let you introduce our first guest here.
Well, I am so thrilled to have you guys here because I did a little research. I went to drift.com.
Ooh.
And as soon as I got on the page, a little bot popped up and said, hey, you know, there's probably some things that can help ChetHolmes.com. And I was shocked. I legitimately went, how does it know that I didn't opt in and it's giving me the website? And that is the perfect intro to what you guys do, right, Drift?
All right. Now, so
like Drift, this is going.
Drift.com is David Cancel. And we're going to have you guys go look at that, Drift.com. Also sitting at the table is Marcus Murphy from Digital Marketer, DigitalMarketer.com, and David Gerhart from Drift also. So maybe David and David. It's like Mike and Mike in the morning, David and David in the morning. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could tell the rest of the world, what is Drift?
Well, Drift is exactly what Amanda talked about, which is Drift is a way for you to have conversations on your website with the people who are coming to your website.
See how excited she is, right?
Yeah, she's very excited.
I am so thrilled. It's like what we need, right? Yeah. Marcus gets what I mean.
Absolutely.
We need this.
Well, it's funny because I run sales teams, and one of the biggest things that I think we're missing is not taking these conversations to the top of the funnel, right? Now we're sitting around looking at, you know, all these nurturing things which marketers do in a great way, but you have to wait for somebody to pop out the bottom. If you go to where people are sitting and just waiting for you to start talking and have a conversation with them, it's a win.
We're not going to let you speak because we're just going to hype you up.
Let's
so
go.
Big.
That's the best thing. Yeah, I'll just be silent.
I love it. The immediacy of that. But go ahead. What do you do?
Yeah. So we help people have conversations on your website, right? And what I learned from reading your dad's book, and we all learned the same thing, is the sale does not start until you have the conversation. And we've forgotten that in marketing, right? We've put up so many gates and boundaries and ways to not talk to people. And you can't have a sale until you have a conversation. So we help businesses like Digital Marketers and others have those conversations.
I love it. So the bot introduces that and then multiple times asks, you know, do you want to have a sales conversation? No. I purposely said no just to see what the comebacks would be.
Yep.
I was like, no, but you could have a demo. No, no, I don't want that. Oh, okay. Well, let me ask you some other questions. So it's like an appointment setter that already sets you then to a sales rep.
So who is the customer you're looking for?
Our main focus is marketing and sales teams because today, like, the basic premise is the way that you and I all communicate doesn't match the way businesses want to communicate with us. And so if you think back to, like, one of my favorite stats that we use all the time from the Ultimate Sales Machine is it's something like 93% of people are not actively buying, right? And yet every marketing and sales team treats you like you're actively buying. Hey, want a demo? Hey, want to buy now? Hey, and you're like, whoa, we haven't even talked yet. And so especially today, because information is free online as a consumer, I never met you before, right? But last night I was able to find out who you are, what you do, a bunch of stuff about what you're working on. We've never talked. And that's the same thing for people who are buying things from other businesses. And so we're all about like bringing business back to people and say, hey, you as the consumer, you have all the power today. So that changes people like Marcus, whose job is to do sales. He can't just force me through his funnel anymore. It's a completely different process than it was 5, 10, 15 years ago.
And maybe Marcus, you can talk a little bit about that. What have you been able to do at Digital Marketer? I mean, you guys are the leader in what's happening in marketing wise. Mm-hmm. How have you translated that into your sales team now?
Well, it's interesting because I'm surrounded by incredible marketers every day. And one thing that has been a major shift for us this year has been switching from B2B, B2C to H to H, which is human to human selling, right? And so now, when you actually bring in that
God
element,
forbid.
Yeah, right? Like, no, scary people, you're going to, you know, steal our kids. But honestly, I think that the majority, I'm just a hand-to-hand combat kind of guy. So I need to be able to have conversations. So what I teach my reps right now is more about monetizing the conversation. Not meaning like you have to high-pressure sell someone, but you need to be thoughtful and build value. And the only way you can do that is to meet people where they're kind of looking around. It's like you walk into a shoe store and somebody says, hey, you need any help? You're like, no, I'm just looking. But if you ask an intentional question like, you're size 11, right? Yes, no, maybe, right? You're trying to figure out a way to continue the conversation, to add value, to bring people along and inform them. It takes more effort, but using something like Drift is allowing my people to have that conversation and enter into a new form of the way that we sell.
You know what's interesting after listening to the audiobook of Ultimate Sales Machine and listening to you, Marcus, and David in the morning here, is that it seems to me that the teacher becomes the student. Even what Chet Holmes would say, you know, if you continue to help your sales team to become better, it actually refines you in the process. And yes. I see that when I'm watching Marcus and I'm watching these guys, and I'm thinking these guys are teachers, but they are the ultimate student of their own lesson, you might say, because you're refining, refining, refining.
Yeah.
I'm curious, where did it start? Where did this bot idea come from? Because it's just blowing up right now. Yeah, bots are just everywhere.
Absolutely.
And what is a bot?
What is a bot?
Oh, good
so
question.
The way it started is I've been building marketing systems for a long time, and so I've built a lot of the stuff that we use today, which is forms and CRMs and email and marketing automation and stuff for many years. And so what I figured out was I was looking at my own life and said, like, well, the way that I communicate with people, like I might communicate with you or you or you, is mostly over messaging now. It's no longer over the phone. It's no longer over email. It's more likely messaging. And whether that's someone at home, whether that's friends that you have, that's the shift in human behavior. How do we adapt sales and marketing to match the shift that is already happening?
So, is this called AI? Artificial intelligence?
Yeah, there's artificial intelligence in it. And so we then started to build conversation systems, and we said, well, how is this going to scale? And so we looked at using AI, artificial intelligence, to create bots to help people with a scaling problem to answer the questions that your sales reps might already be asking.
Can you help my scale that keeps telling me I weigh too much? Anyway, a different kind of scale. We're going to take a break. We're at the Traffic and Conversion Conference 2018 here in San Diego. I'm Alan Taylor. Amanda Holmes right next to me. We're talking with Marcus Murphy, digitalmarketer.com. David Cancel, don't say can't because he can. Cancel, drift.com. Cancel, okay, whatever. I'm just playing with you. And also, David Gerhardt. You guys, we're going to take a little break, come back and talk some more about this at the Traffic and Conversion Conference. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, we're here today at the Traffic and Conversion Conference, San Diego. It's 2018, and the world is changing. Artificial intelligence, man, I'll tell you what, it's on us. You can use it to your advantage. Amanda Holmes right next to me. Marcus Murphy, digitalmarketer.com. Let's talk to you for a second.
Sounds good.
This whole thing with AI, it seems to be a little bit scary to the older generation, me. Do you find
you're
young?
Good looking? Yeah, you know. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I know I'm good looking, but that's a different story.
So it's interesting you said that because that's a perfect point. It's scary because people they've hung their hat on things that have worked for them for a long time. Mm-hmm. Marketers will build landing pages and great video copy, and they'll get people to convert. So here's the thing: what people do, they get really definitive, right? And it's scary to get definitive. Here's the rule of thumb: in addition to, not in lieu of. Right? So when you look at things that like artificial intelligence and all this stuff and how all these bots, it's like they can absolutely help you, but you shouldn't abandon what works. And so that's when it gets scary. If you shut down shop on something that's making you money because there's a shiny object that you're not sure you can monetize, you are going to screw yourself out of a lot of opportunity for revenue. Yeah.
Well, I love what you're saying there because when I went through the bot experience on drift.com, then I had a gentleman by the name of Mike come on, and he was hilarious. He actually told me that he flirt to convert me, which I have never in all of my years heard that.
Do you know this person?
But it was hilarious. But the way that he sold me was very specific, and I love this as a millennial. He's like, I'm about to do the sales thing, okay?
Warning.
I'm going to follow up.
Yeah.
He's straight up telling me, and I felt this is exactly how millennials want to be sold to.
I got to explain.
Yeah, you got to get that.
That's Mike Castillo. He is amazing. And the reason he is a great rep, he's our top rep at Drift, actually. The reason he is because he talks like that. He says, okay, hold on, I'm talking to you. And then he says, I'm going to put my sales hat on for a second. And then he sells to you. And then that completely frames the whole conversation differently because you're not, oh, wait, you weren't selling to me just then? You're just genuinely being helpful. And that's his thing, is like he is the most helpful salesperson we have. And that's why he's the most successful. He's not just on there asking for the credit card, asking for the sale. He's like, hey, Amanda, where are you from? Okay, great. I'm going to help you. Now I'm going to put my sales hat on. If I did that, would you be willing to do X, Y, and Z?
Right. And he did it a couple of different times. I'm like, this guy is brilliant. Like, is there a script here? Yeah. Because I want to dissect it and send it to everybody.
We better learn the flirt to convert.
I need that shirt.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys are getting in trouble right now for that, believe it or not.
Yeah, great.
Well, let's talk about, where did the name Drift? What is that? I mean, that's an interesting name.
Interesting name. So, you know, you can take it in lots of different ways. For us, it's about drifting towards something. And so we wanted to create a company that could create a larger brand than just a software company. And so we looked at companies like Patagonia, Nike, and others. And drift gave us that same connotation. My co-founder is a kiteboarder, and I'm a paddleboarder and kayaker and stuff like that. And so we wanted something that brought that kind of vision, because now we're building companies that are brands, right? That have to occupy space in your mind. And it's no longer about just creating, you know, a nameless business brand.
Let's take a short break here in just a minute. We're going to come back and talk some more about it. Marcus, what is the one thing you want to talk about in the next segment? Because I want to know, what is important to you?
Man, that's good. I actually think that humanizing sales and actually being thoughtful, valued, centered, like, I want to talk about what kind of salesperson is going to win in this next phase of, like, getting these kind of great tools like Drift. And I think maybe we can start talking about what does that person look like.
Are you picking up what he's laying down?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, that's what we're gonna talk about coming up next. We're at the Traffic and Conversion Conference. I don't know what that means. Traffic, the 405 and the 5 were terrible. The conversion, I don't know. We're learning about it here today. That's what this is all about. Because, you know, I mean, I have been out of the loop for a while. I've been being an entrepreneur, and all of a sudden I'm jumping back in since I joined Entrepreneur, and this is just so fun to learn. Thank you, Amanda Holmes. You are taking me on a journey that is just awesome. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. Up and down this road.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Today, we're at the Traffic and Conversion Conference in San Diego. I'm Alan Taylor, Amanda Holmes right next to me, Chet Holmes International. She's the CEO. I'm following around like a puppy. I'm just an old, wrinkled up puppy, but I'm following her around like a Shar-Pei, and I'm meeting all kinds of interesting new people. And then even the fact that we got to talk to Jay Abraham, who was there at the beginnings of Entrepreneur Magazine, and here 40 years later, he's still doing the same exact thing, and the dude has so much great information. I love what I'm doing. And thank you again to Amanda Holmes for bringing me here. I wouldn't have come. I didn't know what it was. Oh, and she points over at Marcus Murphy from Digital Marker and says it's all him.
If Amanda wasn't who she was, no one would be here.
So, right, that's the truth.
All right, you wanted to talk about humanizing the whole experience of marketing.
Yeah.
I love that. Go for it.
We've run into a couple of things this year where marketers are, you know, the best way I can kind of explain this is music, and I'm not saying that I'm some great composer, but when I look at salespeople, we always want to think that we're like Miles Davis, right? But we actually get off on these tangents, and we got to get back to the beat, and the only way you're going to do that is a great composition. It's a great piece, and we need great stories. Mm-hmm. And so what I think is really interesting about marketing, this relationship that I'm learning as kind of like navigating, I'm a sales guy working at a marketing company and building out a sales team that looks a lot like marketers. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, I think one of the things I wanted to talk about today was just like, what is that modern day salesperson look like? Who really wins? And I think it is a combination of somebody who is thoughtful, empathetic, and actually can make these kind of human connections and have a real conversation, but also somebody that's equipped with great marketing acumen that has the ability to be able to tell a great story or use content in great stories. Because great stories aren't just told, they're retold and they're retold and they're retold.
Well, something that's really poignant about you, so Marcus is on the board of LinkedIn now because he's such an influencer on LinkedIn. Can you share a little bit about that? I mean, that's every sales guy's dream, that
right
you could
turn.
Be that.
So that platform is interesting because for a long time it was kind of a joke. It really was. I mean, sorry, Jeff Weiner, it was kind of bad. But I think that more and more people, Jeff's amazing. He's a peripheral mentor of mine. I love the guy.
That's cojones right there.
Yeah. Huh. He's not, believe me, if he listens to this and he calls me out, like, you can have my cell phone, Jeff. One of the things about LinkedIn that I love is that it also is now providing another vehicle. So if you think about companies like Drift, companies like Facebook that are doing a lot more with their Messenger, LinkedIn is allowing us to connect in a professional way. And it's different than other social sites because it's not Twitter, it's not Facebook, it's not the personal part. This is your career.
Yeah, I'm starting to use it more and more. And I don't know, whatever you guys have done is working on me because I find that I'm going back. And
I don't mean to like tee up this softball that I'm about to give to these guys, but they are doing some very incredible and like notable things on LinkedIn that is worth it. I mean, you're building, they're focusing a lot of their attention there. All of their teams are on there. So I think this is actually a really good opportunity to get their take on how they can influence. Because you're a growing business. You're taking rounds. Like, this is an exciting time for you guys.
Yeah. David.
I think you nailed one thing, which is it's about humanizing. It's about being not only on the sales side, but on the marketing side as well. It's about what people want today is realness, right? They want real people. And we got so far away from being real people. And what we talked about before when Amanda was talking about Mike was that that was a real person. And you sense that that was real, right? Versus versus a salesperson who has been trained so much that they become robotic and they stop being real.
And there's nothing more repulsive to me than when I hear... I don't know whether it's called a bot when it's hello, my name's Amanda.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's not. You're a bot. You're a computer. No, when Amanda calls me, I know who it is.
Yeah.
There's a loving person behind that, a caring person. Mm-hmm. When those things happen as a salesperson, when they become robotic, they have destroyed their career.
Yeah, and so many salespeople are like that. I mean, I can tell when I'm talking to someone what sales training they went through because I know exactly what script they're taking me through, and I'm just, it's so robotic. And so people want reality. As Amanda said, most companies are using 4 social channels now. What does that say? People want to connect on a personal level, and that's not only for salespeople. I think it's for marketers as well. The stuff we do on LinkedIn in terms of marketing is all about how do we become as vulnerable and real as possible, and we share everything there.
So give me some examples of that. Yeah. I want
so
tactical.
Like, instead of shooting a highly produced video, we shoot everything on our iPhones, and so something might happen. A kid might run in, or something
Isn't
will happen,
that
or cat.
Weird?
Yeah, and
right?
People love that. They want that because they're like, "This is a real person. This is Amanda. I understand who she
of that.
Is."
Oh, so right as Mike was getting on, there were all these people around his computer, and they were all looking at me. I'm like, "This is really weird." Like normally they're in their cubicles, nobody's looking at each other. I'm like, "This must be a Silicon Valley cool thing," because it just felt like there was a vibe in the whole room.
Yeah.
Mike, I told him like something about how he might get fired or something in our conversation. He's like, "You guys gonna fire me?" And it was hilarious.
It's
he was
awesome.
Just catcalling people in the office.
It's authentic. That's what it is.
Well, it's interesting because LinkedIn does provide a window to that, but also there are 530 million people on there, and a lot of them are doing not that.
Mm-hmm.
They're not being vulnerable. So it's like, if you think about it, why do we love Superman? We love Superman because he has great powers, and he also is...
He has kryptonite.
Correct. But if he didn't have kryptonite, he'd be an a-hole.
Actually, I think you mentioned the most important part. I don't want to give away the secret, but
like
nobody's going to listen anyway.
Yes.
Nobody's listening. They don't do the secrets anyway. But the number one, the reason that LinkedIn is popular right now is because nobody's using it in the way that we've been using it.
Yep.
And that's the same for every marketing channel, right? If I said right now the best time for you to send an email, hey, marketers out there, that we found the best time to send an email is 2:07 p.m. Everybody listening to this would then go send an email at 2:07 p.m.
Right.
And guess when the best time to send an email would be? Probably Sunday night at 4 o'clock. And so it's all about figuring out what's going to work for your business. We found an opportunity in LinkedIn. That's why we've been investing a lot of time there.
Great job, David and David in the Morning. David Cancel and David Gerhardt from Drift.com. Marcus Murphy, thank you for the tickets, my friend. And
yeah, my pleasure.
The hookup here, digitalmarketer.com. All I can say is thank you to Amanda. Hi, my name is Amanda. Do you have 2 minutes to listen to my BS? No, that's not Amanda Holmes. That's one of those crazy bots. Hang up immediately. Because when Amanda talks, Amanda Holmes, you listen. You thought, she's like looking at me like, what are you doing? Hey, by the way, there's Jay Abraham. Oh my gosh, we talked about him. Here he is. He's coming up next. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Traffic and Conversion Conference 2018. I'm Alan Taylor here in San Diego with Amanda Holmes, CEO of Chet Holmes International, my sidekick. But today, I think I'm her sidekick because she knows everybody here. And Jay Abraham is here. He's an icon, but your dad talks about him in his book, The Ultimate Sales Machine, over and over and over. And I thought to myself, and I get to meet this guy today. But first of all, I want Amanda, you tell us about your relationship with Jay Abraham and how long you've known him.
I'm so glad that we got to set this up, Jay, because the amount of diversity that you've had, I mean, everyone, your name just comes with legend. Right? And that's what I hear, the legendary Jay Abraham.
I keep trying to tell my wife, hey, it's the legendary Jay Abraham. She goes, take out the garbage, legend.
Love it.
That's
love
great.
It.
Well, just for those that maybe want to know a little bit more in the backstory, Jay has worked with over 10,000 clients in 400 industries and 7,200 sub-industries.
Actually, the industry count is 1,000 actual ones. And I'm not being rude. It's just grown since then. And it's we stopped counting on the sub-industries, but a lot, quite a lot.
Well, tell the world what you do. How would you describe yourself?
I am a combination of business growth, I would say master or expert, but I'm also a masterful thinking partner who collaborates with entrepreneurs who want to dramatically grow a business predicated on high performance, geometric thinking, and also outrageous preeminent contributions and value creation for their marketplace. So it's a duality. It's knowing how to grow a business really explosively, but only knowing how to do it if your business is rendering some kind of really significant premier value beyond and above the competition. Mm.
You know, hearing Chet Holmes talk about you in his book, he had a tremendous amount of respect for you. I mean, for a guy like Chet Holmes to quote Jay Abraham.
Well, I had respect for him.
It was a mutual thing there.
Yes.
Maybe you could, for a moment, what was it like working with him? I'm just curious because I never got to meet, I get to meet his wonderful daughter who I love so much.
Yes.
But I mean, I would love to have been able to meet Chet.
I'll tell you what, he was a really unique and a very focused person who was indefatigable in his work ethic. He was very creative. He was very disciplined. He had a formulation of 12 or 15 key drivers in his business growth philosophy, and he integrated them very masterfully. And I don't think I ever saw anyone who really prepared better for whatever he was going to do or whoever he was going to do it for. And he understood a different spectrum of business growth than I did, which is why we got along. He brought
The yin and the yang.
He brought a really good contrast, but it worked really well together.
Mm-hmm. Also, I understand you were there at the birth of Entrepreneur magazine.
I was indeed.
Isn't that cool, man?
We just found this out.
It was like the Wild West. It's a wonderful experience, and it's a hilarious story. And it was really a fascinating era of evolution in the terms of the, literally, the entrepreneurial spirit of the world. Mm.
It's interesting that you and I mean, we're kind of the old men of the sea of this business, you might say. And now today we have Amanda Holmes, 30, just 30.
Yes.
And I find that I am following her around to learn what the millennials are doing and what the young people are doing, because it's a new frontier for them.
Yes.
And we're the old, you know, skull and crossbones out in the desert at this point. I mean, not so much you and not so much entrepreneurs.
No, I mean, I understand.
I mean, these young people are killing it.
And I'll play a little bit of wretched ideological habit with you. I think that there's a really interesting counter perspective. I've had the great privilege of collaborating with about 20 very prominent iconic influencers to millennials. And I think millennials, they have an unquenchable thirst for guidance, for meaning, for greater connectivity in how to optimize the performance, the success, the fulfillment, the impact of their lives. And I've been very, very blessed and very delighted to have had influence on a lot of them. So I think that the old and the young can come together
as long as you're not trying to be admonishing them.
Or castigating them. If you're trying to share adaptive and translative experiences that they don't have the context of understanding, and you're trying to put them in a form that can be related to them, you can really propel them to an enormous level. Well,
do you have any takeaways that we could take away from how to better interact? So you said, yes, we can encourage them instead of bring them down.
Yeah. If you want me to go through a really rapidity of thoughts, I'll tell you what has resonated very universally with almost all of them. And I've done both organizations that were venture capitalists that were funding under 26-year-old entrepreneurs that were technology people who were mostly engineers. I've done a lot of the iconic people. And here's what I found. First of all, I'll give you context. There's no human being I know, old or young, educated or not, who doesn't want to be greater at what they do. They just don't know what greatness looks like, both in how it feels, how it changes your thought process, how it manifests in your expression, and how it is received by people. What I've done with millennials is try to explain to them, number one, that they can rule the world if, A, they learn, first of all, to listen, and second of all, to hear, and third of all, to acknowledge, and fourth of all, to be curious about how other people see life, because no two people are having the same experience. Third, if they are committed to collaboration. Fourth, if they are allowing themselves to be more passionate, purposeful, and see possibilities in what they do. Number five, if they are committed to growing and developing everyone around them, then they really grow themselves. There's a big article that I could send to you if you want about the emerging leadership crisis that is occurring, because sadly, many millennials, not all, they come into the world, and a lot of us baby boomers have been the progenitors of this problem. They are not necessarily good collaborators. They are not necessarily good listeners. They are more lifestyle oriented than they are career, meaning they want to be gone at five. They need a lot
true.
Of...
It's unbelievable.
No, I'm just telling you what I learned.
Yeah.
They want to basically... They have to keep their passion and purpose. They need to be nourished and nurtured differently. They want to learn, but they have an inherent, not a resentment, but an attitudinal prejudice that some of the older people don't have value, and you have to be able to torque down to their level, not try to bring them to yours, or you're basically going to lose. But I've been very, very, very effective in teaching them how to be preeminent, how to be wanting to really be a meaningful leader in whatever they do. I've been very effective in getting them to see that they have the chance to make differences, not just through their job, but through what the business or their effort really achieves.
Let me take a break. We'll come back because this is too good and I've got to take a commercial break. So you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, part of Entrepreneur Magazine and Entrepreneur Network. And today we're at the Traffic and Conversion Conference in San Diego. And thanks to our friends letting us use their Buzzsprout, their booth here. We appreciate that. Amanda and I and Jay Abraham will be right back with more. Stay with us.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes here today at the Traffic and Conversion Conference. We're talking to one of the icons of the sales and marketing and traffic and conversion industry, I guess you might say, Jay Abraham. And Jay was at the beginnings of Entrepreneur, was there and was involved. And so today we have him on our radio show. Thank you very much for hanging with us for just a little bit. And you were
well, thank you for inviting me. Middle
of telling a story about
Entrepreneur. It was profound. It was like I was right at the critical and you left me on the ledge.
So
cliffhanger.
Sorry.
2 years ago, I was asked to do something very profound in Japan, and this is not tangential. They have a huge problem with millennials. Every year, 35,000 millennials walk into the woods and commit suicide because they feel helpless, hopeless, purposeless. And we did a book to give them passion, purpose, possibility. I did a lot of reflection on that. I think the one thing you have to do with millennials is inspire them to want to grow past the rigidity of their current thinking. I've been blessed by traveling all over the world, figuratively and literally, figuratively in all kinds of industries. I've gotten to see how different ways people think, how different ways business is transacted, how different values, how different belief systems. And the more you can expand the paradigm, the mindset, the ideological of a millennial, the more powerful you make them. I have a very dear friend who has a company in Washington that is very successful, and it's almost 90% millennials. He has a absolute full-time specialist whose job it is to retain and to individually address what each millennial needs to make them purposeful, to make them passionate, to make them feel like they're part of a crusade
to help
and a mission.
Wow. To the other side, you may say.
Yeah,
of
to
whatever.
Be part of a, yeah. To be part of a mission, a yeah. crusade, a movement.
That's
because
awesome.
No one has wow. done that. Nobody wants to be mediocre, and nobody wants to be, if you realize it, rigidity is unfulfilling. Expansion is intoxicated. The problem is very few people try to systematically and gently and
pig-headedly
nurture a millennial to expand his or her paradigm,
yeah.
to show them. I mean, for example, you and I are talking, and I believe, because I've done a lot of this, no two people talking to each other have the very same definition of any word. Your definition is based on your experience,
your upbringing, the
yeah. canvas that you're painting on.
Right.
And with millennials, it's worse because they really aren't trained to be great communicators. I have a millennial, and one time he wanted a classic car. I got him a 69 Pontiac Le Mans convertible, hot car. But I never even thought to teach him to check the oil. And he let the engine blow up
because he
came from the era where he was waiting for the to say, hey, check oil.
Notification on your phone.
But I think that
the greatest
gift that a more, let's say, not wise, but a more traveled adult can do to a millennial who you have to look at, here is a sponge that has an infinite thirst, but they also have an inherent distrust, let's say discomfort, and unfamiliarity.
Distrust is a big one.
Well, yeah. I've done a lot of work with people like Stephen M. R. Covey, who's the preeminent expert in the world on corporate trust building, and trust is very different in its actual manifestation than it is in what we believe. We think we're trustworthy, but there's so many dimensions of trust, and listening is first, acknowledging, conducting yourself authentically.
Acknowledging is
not
a
talking
big
behind
one.
People's back. I can go along and along.
Or posting on Twitter.
Yeah.
Social media.
The first key to what I'll call the millennial maze is to, first of all, gain their trust.
Yeah.
And they have to see that your intention is their best interest. It's not to shove your ideology down their throat.
Yeah.
It's not to control them. It's to liberate them so they can be so much more, so their life can be so much more meaningful, purposeful, so they can derive so much more out of what's going on, not just economically, but psychically, emotionally, interactively, because nobody really does that for them. And I've been very blessed. I've done it worldwide, and it works.
All right, let's take a break. 5 more minutes with Jay Abraham here at the Traffic and Conversion Conference 2018. Again, thanks to Buzzsprout for letting us use their podcast booth here. This is a nationally broadcast radio show and podcast with Entrepreneur Network. We'll be right back.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Welcome back. I'm Alan Taylor with Amanda Holmes here at the Traffic and Conversion Conference 2018 in San Diego. We're talking with Jay Abraham, and he is helping us to understand this mentality that I think most business people need to have towards the millennial and any generation down behind us, you might say, not below us, but behind us. If we don't pay it forward and help them to understand what we're doing, you know, and I'm trying to learn from Amanda Holmes, who's 30, I'm learning more from her any day of the week than she's learning from me at this point, because this industry, this world has left me behind. If I don't choose to keep up with it. So, Amanda, I'm going to throw it over to you for your next
question.
Well,
I'm loving what you're saying, Jay. And I think it's so poignant because building that trust, and you've given us really specific, I asked you for it, and you gave it right back. You know, step number one, step number two. We'll have to create a meme on that. That was fantastic.
No, and I'll be happy to give you things you can translate because we've done, and it's been very well received. I have an attitude about millennials that's very, it's not just poignant, it's heartfelt. Well, let's take a look at it. They are going to rule the world. They are going to be the leaders, and they don't know how to lead, so they need people to help them, not criticize them, but expand their paradigm of what leadership looks like, what it means to collaborate, what it means to inspire, to develop, to unify, to collaborate, and how exciting that is as opposed to intimidating. They need to see what an organization unified on a mission can do in terms of any kind of goal or achievement. They need to learn to listen. They need to learn to appreciate. They need to learn to acknowledge others and not to patronize or manipulate, because that's the greatest growth we'll get, because you learn by all the different realities. One of the things I teach is the first thing you have to do is try to examine, explore, evaluate, understand how every millennial sees life, because that's their reality. Not yours, but it's theirs. Okay. Then you've got to try to visualize what their day, what their reality is like, because you can't engage, you can't like double clutch and get into their life unless you understand the gears that are driving them. Next, you've got to be able to have them understand that you appreciate and you respect and you acknowledge that. You may not agree, but that's a reality. But only from mutual acknowledgement and trust can you bridge understanding and guidance. And you've got to be able to have them see that you are not critical. You are trying to really expand and liberate and emancipate all this greatness. Now, it's a big problem. The millennials are not only going to be the leaders of the future, but they're going to be the wealth controllers, because we baby boomers are going to die. Oh, sad, sad, sad. And they're going to inherit our wealth
sooner than others.
They are going to be the governing force of our society. Right. And if you look at any governing force, the most impressive ones, the most impactful ones had advisors. They had masterful thinking partners. You have to look at your role as a masterful thinking partner. I did this will be a conclusion for you. I did an experiment a couple of months ago with a large group of accountants. We brought in two experts, one to teach them how to hire and motivate millennials, the other to teach them how to sell to millennials. Two different dynamics. But without those pieces of the puzzle, entrepreneurs, CEOs, managers are going to be at a huge disadvantage. I'll leave it at that.
So valuable. This conversations like this are perfect for Entrepreneur and the Entrepreneur Network. Jay Abraham, really appreciate you taking the time, because I know you were here speaking on stage. Where can people find you on social media and the rest?
The best thing for me to share is we have a site that's quite profound. It's called abraham.com/50shades, 50 shades. And it's got 800 hours and 10,000 pages, and it doesn't ask for an opt-in. It doesn't sell anything. We've evolved to the point where we're benefactors to the entrepreneur world. There's a lot of great clarity, and a lot of young and middle-sized youth and young adults have found great solace, great clarity. I would recommend that. And it's not to monetize it. It just gives them guidance.
Very good. Abraham.com, Amanda Holmes, Chet Holmes International, ChetHolmes.com. I'm Alan Taylor. We're here at TNC Traffic and Conversion in San Diego. We'll see you next time right here. Check back in.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.